Anyway, here we go. We're starting Daf Samach Aleph into Mai. And we're going to try to figure this out. Actually, we're going to start on Samach Aleph Beis at the bottom of the page. Okay, so it said that Shnayim Shabatsu Karmehen, if you have two partners, and one of them takes Maaser and one of them does not, so it said that he has to take Maaser for himself, and perhaps he has to take Maaser. The way I explained it was he has to take Maaser for the whole thing, because he's got to take care of his portion and the other guy's portion. That's what we said. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said the following: Durav Meir he. This Mishnah is going in the sheet of Rabbi Meir, referring back to the old machlokas we had earlier in the Masechta, that Rabbi Meir said that if you had somebody that sold in bulk, a seton, a wholesaler, that he did not have to worry about taking off the maasers, the lokeach had to take the maasers. The Chachamim argued on him and said, not only the wholesaler, but even an individual who sells a large amount also does not have to worry about it. So the whole machlokas is basically that. Is an individual who sells a lot have to worry about it or not have to worry about it? Now, before we even go further, there's an important footnote that that says over here, it's in the end of footnote 4 on 61A1, you will see, it says, it is taken for granted that the Mishnah's ruling involves a large quantity of produce, as is typically the case when grapes are harvested and brought to the wine press. So this is an assumption which he left into the brackets in footnote 4. It's really essential that you know that right up front, otherwise all Gemara, it's really, you don't know what they're talking about. What are they talking about? Seton, not seton. There's an assumption here that we're talking about a large quantity. So therefore, it gets involved, this aspect that we're about to describe in a minute, between the Machlokas or Meir, who said the only one that was given the free pass, so to speak, is the seton. And the Chachamim held that everybody's given the free pass if you're dealing with a large quantity. Since in our Mishnah, you're obviously, I'm just going to tell you right now, since the Mishnah, you see, you're involved in the concern of your Maaser for yourself and the Maaser for the other guy, you see this concern for the other guy. According to the Chachamim, if it's a large amount, it's his headache, I don't have to be concerned about it. So that's basically what Rabbi Elazar is going to say here.
So in the case of wine, and it could be oil also, mice is taken off from the fruit, it's not taken off from the liquid afterwards? Right, because now it's collected in the big collection, and they can make, it's going to the press now. So when is the mice taken off from that?
Whatever the Gemara Malacha is.
Well, we certainly had cases where that was a question because we said that when the guy, the two guys who were shutfin in the vineyard and then their stuff was mixed together and they were going to give the Meister afterwards, and we said he has to give it half of it. I forget the exact case, but the bottom line was you were giving it by the later time, not. Yeah.
But it's still in the debt with the grapes.
Well, here it's they're gonna there's gonna have to be a they're gonna have to divide it up before they can take off anything, okay? Because before they divide it up, there's nothing to talk about. I can't take Mises because my portion is not
true.
It's not clear, so it has to be over here that it's afterwards. All right, right. So Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Meir, this is coming out like Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir said, only someone who's a wholesaler can sell it. Hupasar la, Rabbi Elazar interprets the Mishnah to mean, Hama'aser, Ma'aser es shalo vadai, that when he takes Ma'aser from his portion, that's definite tevel. We know that was tevel because nothing would have been taken from it from the time of the picking to the time it came into his rishos. The chelko b'chamokam shahu, also, his original chalik, again, we're going ein brera. The pshat is, the way he explains it in the bottom is, when we buy it, when we become shutfim, I'm a shutuf with you in every single olive. Half and half, half and half, half and half. Later, we split it up. So then, at that point, it could be that I have, how does he say it? footnote 2. I'm going to have to read some footnotes here because I can't think of this right now. Each of the partners is considered to have initially owned a certain unidentifiable portion of the crop. So when they divide the produce, each partner may be receiving part or possibly even all of the other one's original share. So they would thus be exchanging shares. So, right, so now I'm getting your shares, you're getting my shares. Exchanging shares is like a shtukl mikach u'memkar, but I can't avoid it. Normally, you're not even allowed to begin such a transaction with Tevel, but here it's unavoidable. That's what he says. In the brackets, normally such tithing must be done before the exchange. In this case, the produce cannot possibly be tithed until after they've divided it between themselves, because then we have an identifiable portion from which I can take action on. So that's what we're talking about. So, okay, so he's taking his vadai, and his partner he's taking his demai. Now, what does that mean, his partner's demai? So the problem is like this. Let's look at the top. He's furthermore required to separate maisus on behalf of the rest of the wine, which is now in the hands of the other guy who's an amharetz, to address the possibility that that portion, in fact, originally belonged to him and was transferred to the other guy who's not makbid when they divided up the wine. It's uncertain whether the trusted partner actually did own any of that wine. He doesn't know for sure whether he owned that wine or not. It could be that it's all my got back my own wine. So I don't know whether my wine is by him. So therefore, there's a suffix involved. That's why we're calling it demai. Now, demai, in the sense, is, how's it demai? It's demai that the stuff that I'm mafresh for the other guy's portion, I don't have to give away. Because I'm motzi mechaver of haraya again. You can't prove that this is for sure something that's coming to you. Maybe all the stuff that was mine is actually here in my rishos. So it's demai. So that's only according, again, the English. That's only according to Reb Meir, who holds demai is forbidden to be sold unless you're a wholesaler. According to the Chacham, who disagree with Reb Meir, then any person can sell large quantities. So then the partner who is trusted would not have any obligation at all to tithe the other partner's portion. So that's why Reb Elazar said that the Mishnah is coming out like Reb Meir. Now, Reb Yoina Boy, I think that the basis of this problem is because he holds some Breira. I'm not sure. We're going to see this in a second. I'm not 100% sure about that. Yeah, let's keep going. Reb Yoina Boy, Meicher Vadei U'Mesakein Demai. This was definite tevel, and yet you're calling it demai. What do you mean? Any wine that was exchanged is definitely untithed. How could you say that it's got a leniency of demai? We know for sure this was all tevel at the get-go. So Reb Yoina presents an alternative interpretation. Ein l'chala kahi dam Reb Yochanan, divrei hakolhi, that it's coming out, the Mishnah is coming out according to everybody, meaning even the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Meir. And it goes like this: Hamaaser Maaser Eshelovadai. You separate your own tithes. That's your entire share of the wine, half of which is still in his possession, half of which is his partner's possession. That's definite tevel. The chelko b'chamakom shehu demai, the original share of the non-trusted partner, wherever it is demai. The chatzi chelko shemiyat chaver mishalo demai, and therefore the half of the latter's original share that is in the hand of his fellow, also needs to be tithed. So let's see what it means like this. Let's see. Let's start with 6. Reb Yoina disagrees with Reb Elazar's premise that the trusted partner is only obligated to tithe the wine received by the Amaretz, and therefore you get the heter of demai. Rather, he holds, no, the wine that was transferred to the Amaretz is considered definite tevel. Okay, now, let's go to 8. Don Moritz's original share of the wine, half of which is now in the hands of the trusted partner, has the status of demai. because we don't know whether the Yom HaAretz has separated the necessary ties. This is the difference that he says. He feels that you have a definite suffix that maybe the other guy, even though he's an Yom HaAretz, maybe he took off Maishas from his portion. So in that sense, it's the Mai. Not it's the Mai because you don't know whether you have your portion or whether you don't have your portion. That was the previous shot. We don't know what you have. Here he's saying, no, the reason why it's the Mai is because maybe he took off his Afrasha. Rabbi Yochanan rejects the notion the partner's original shares are unidentifiable. It's therefore unknown whether each partner received his own share or not. Rabbi Yochanan maintains the shares of the two partners are inherently and fully mingled until they divide the produce so that when the division is made, exactly half of what each partner received was initially owned by the other one. So that means I get half of what I owned, and I get half of what you owned. It's like, look at it like this. Look at it like you owned half of every single olive, and I owned half of every single olive. When we divided it in half, I got half the olives, half of which were mine, half of which were yours. That's the way he looks at it. The trusted partner is obligated to take maestris, therefore, for three quarters of the wine. He has to take definitely tevel, the half of his original share, which still belongs to him, as well as the half of his partner's share, which is in his rishos, and he's got the responsibility. He's got half of his in the amaritz's rishos as well. So he has to take for the full half that he has in his rishos, and for the quarter of his that's in the other guy's rishos. He has no responsibility with respect to the remaining half of his partner's share. That was never his. Okay. Let's go to Halacha Vav. Okay, this requires a lot more even. I don't have the whole suga a race card, as you can see. Okay, Shnai, we're on now some Halacham base. Halacha Vav. Shnayim shekiblu asasana ba'arisus. So now you have two people who are leasing the field together, right? Or sheyarshu, or sheneshtafu, we became partners, we inherited, we partners. Yochel loymalai, so I can say, one can say to the other one, in other words, obviously, one of you is going to be makben on maestris, and the other one is not makben on maestris. That's one way to learn the Gemishna is talking about that case, where one partner is makben, one is not makben. Let's learn that way for now. It's the easiest mahalach. So then I could say, Tolata chitim shema mokum ploni, vani chitim shema mokum ploni. I'll take the wheat from here, and you take the wheat from here. Or ata yain mokum ploni, vani yain shema mokum ploni. I'll take the wine from here, and you take the wine from there. Avol lo yomo, I can't say to him, Tolata chitim ani sorim. You take the wheat, and I'll take the barley. Tolata yain ani atolasa shema. You take the wine, I'll take the oil. What's the difference? So, let's see here. Here in footnote 2, he says that this mission is going yesh brera. This mission is not like the previous mission. The previous mission was going yesh brera. This mission is going yesh brera. So when I say you take wine from here, I'll take wine from here, we say yesh brera, that it's mavur, that this was my portion originally. So the mail, I don't have to worry about what you take. That's the idea here. Accordingly, each partner is required to separate tithes only on behalf of the share he receives. Even if one of the partners is an Amo Aretz, he has no obligation. Now, that at first glance, see in paragraph 2, second paragraph, this seems to contradict the previous Mishnah, which does not accept the validity of Brera. But in fact, he says there's no contradiction. Why? There's an important difference. The principle of Brera is relevant only if the partners divided the crop while it's still attached to the ground. This is an important yesod. The problem of yesh Brera or not is only if it's we divide it while it's still mechubar. However, the produce was divided after it was harvested, then Brera does not apply. Look in 62a, notes 2 and 6 for the reasoning behind this. I don't know what this. We'll see it tomorrow. Thus, in the case of the previous Mishnah, the produce was divided after having been already made into wine. You can't say Breira by rectifying it retroactively. Present Mishnah is talking about where we agreed to divide it up while it was still attached to the ground. So even though it says wheat and wine, it means that it was grain and grapes. That's the Rosh. Okay? So that's important. That's an important footnote too. Let's see, what else do we have here? Three. Even if the produce is still standing, if I get your share, right, this is what I can't say. I can't say you take wheat and I'll take barley, right? What's the reason? Because there, you can't say Breira, right? You can't say that there's a Breira, that I was going to get the barley. You were never targeted for barley, that's for sure not. That's a deal that I'm making, so that's a subsequent deal. So the Breira doesn't, once you get rid of the Breira, you get rid of the whole heter over here. For example, if they jointly planted wheat and barley, each partner has rights to the wheat as well as the barley, right? Taking the case of the Shutfus, right? They should decide, if they decide that one is going to take the whole wheat and the other one's going to take the barley, you can't say Breira and say he received the share that belonged to him from the very beginning. We know that from the very beginning he owned everything together, right? Rather, the division would certainly amount to a trade. And you can't trade things when they are tevel. That's the rule we keep harping on and knocking it over and over again, right? If it's tevel, you can't do trades with it. You got to be besakin tevel before you start selling stuff. Okay. Again.
I guess the always the question is what happens if it isn't.
If what? If it was one.
If tevel isn't dealt with before. Now it's still tevel if it's been traded, right?
Yeah, but you weren't allowed to do that. That's what.
But there has to be. There are a lot of cases that are consequential because of that.
If, in other words, when I say you take this and I take that, mm-hmm. we're saying in the Mishnah you can't do that.
Right.
You have to be masakin it before you can make a deal like that. Okay. Chavav Amoritz Yerusha Avihim Amoritz. So here you have a chaver, an amoritz. Their father was an amoritz. So here, yachol oimalai. The chaver can say to the amoritz the same thing. Tola tachitim shemal complaini, anichad shemal complaini, ati yain shemal complaini, ani yain shemal complaini. Avolo yomalai tola tachitim anisa oirim, tola salach aniyat tola sayyavesh. Again, you can't do this. It's just like the ratio, right? Now, he talked about the wet and the dry because of moksha, right? Right, the cover can't transfer a ma'aretz produce which is susceptible to tumah, so you can't divide wet against dry. Yeah. And the problem is it seems to be redundant, right? So there's a bracket here that talks about the redundancy. Okay, let's not worry about that now. Next, Yisrael v'goyish, Tani, Yisrael v'goyish shekanu soda b'surya. So let's see here. We're talking about surya, which we've explained many times, has a halacha of what? It's a derabbanan, and we say that everybody agrees, yesh kenyan l'goy to be mafkiya midei maisras in surya. Because it's Kibush Yachid. So they both bought. So the Yisrael. So right. So we bought it as partners. So there's a problem here because now I'm the Yisrael and I have a guy partner. Everything that grows that belongs to me is Chayv and Trumas and Maisus Derabbanan. Everything that grows in his portion is completely Potter because Yesh Kinyan LeGoy LaHavkiyam Midei Maiser. So what do we do? How do you handle this case? So Hareyu Kitavel Usum Rabin Zavazah. Obviously, that's exactly what we have here. We have Tevel, that's my portion. And the Goy's portion is Mu'usr, it's Musukan. There's no Chiyuv mixed together. Divei Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Galil, I'm going to know. Chalka Shah Yisrael Chayev, Chalka Shah Goy Potter.
How are you
going to
know?
So, let's see. So Rebbe, let's see what it says here in the English, in the top first. So Rebbe rejects Breira. He holds the portion of the harvest does not retroactively clarify which portion belonged to whom. So therefore, each and every kernel is jointly owned and is subject to tithes. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, accept Reira. So the Jew and the non-Jew, when they divide the harvest, the division retroactively clarifies which kernels belong to the guy and which ones belong to the Jew from the time they began to grow. So therefore, there's no, right? So there's no problem. Yeah, I can go buy, take the guy stuff without having to worry about it, like you said, Yesh Breyer. So here you have a machlokes, Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's a classic machlokes of Yesh Breyer, Ein Breyer. Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rav Chanina, ma'pligin, what are they arguing about? That's that they divided the field while the grain is standing, right? That's what we just said before. While it's standing is when you're going to apply Breyer. Avlam cholku godish, if they divided it after it was already in the stacks, and after Rav Shimon Gamliel might have the Rebbe, then he would agree. In other words, even the money Amor holds Yesh Breira, there's a difference, right? So here he talks about footnote 2, which I haven't read yet, but I guess we'll take a peek. Let's take a peek at it. Rav Yosef asserts the dispute between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel is limited to cases where the partners divided the grain while it's still attached to the ground. That's where he holds you apply Breira. But in the cases where it's after it was harvested, then he agrees that you can't apply Breira. For the grain has already been mixed together. All the stalks are therefore viewed as the shared property of the two partners, making it half and half. The reason Breira cannot be applied to once the grain has been harvested and mixed together is that the ownership of each stalk derives from the ownership of the land from which it grew. Okay, so multiple stalks can emerge from a single point in the ground. All the stalks have already been mixed together. The division of the grain will not necessarily allow us to attribute unique ownership in the land to each partner. Wow, this is... Okay. Basically, it sounds like what he's saying is, we can't just look at the grain. The grain came from a single point on the ground, right? So, if you're going to say Yesh Breira, so what we're being mavarer is that the point at which that stalk is attached to the ground, I own that piece of ground. I'm not being mavarer the stalk. I'm being mavarer the ground. That's what he's trying to say over here. If I can't be mavarer the ground, then, in other words, if we harvested it all, I can't point to the ground anymore because I don't see it anymore. It's all mixed up. I don't know where it came from.
If you do it before.
If you do it before, right. By contrast, when they divide the grain, it's still attached to the ground. It's possible to say that the division retroactively clarifies which part of the land belongs to each partner. That's what he's saying here. And then he says the Meiri is going to discuss, or seeing Adami Aretz, whatever. And how does the partnership of the land change every year? Because it's going to be different from one year to the next, right? It's like it's a joke, right? One year I'm going to own this part of the land. The next year I'm going to own a different part of the land based on how we divided it. So that's going to be a problem. Okay. So we'll stop here. And we'll have to work on this sugya more. Yeah, this is very good.
So we start where? By Rav Yonah? Yeah. That he winds down.
Thank you. Yes.